And welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 495. I'm Adam.
95?
Yes, I'm Adam, and but we'll leave that to Kirby, because he'll be the only one that actually has got the quote. Kirby Bartleton!
Och, aye, I've been out in a boot.
No way! No way! That is what I've got written down in front of me, is my quote.
Okay, oh, Ben Jola.
That's the best quote.
No, hold on. I've got one for you then. Go and introduce me again so I can do it properly.
Ben Shoveler.
Don't say that.
No, that's the one I was going to use.
No. Yay! All right, and Adam Pearson. Right.
Shut up, Kirby. You just talked over my blimmin' quote. Right.
Sorry.
Yes? You were saying?
Who, me?
Yes, you just interrupted me.
My secondary one was going, if Ben had happened to be before me, was going to be, well, they were bald, athletic, your wife's away, I just thought you were happy.
Why didn't you come to me first? You've ruined the show already.
Yeah. Right then, you can tell Kirsty that she can just join us when she's ready, but she might have to let me know she's there.
I will do that. Hang on.
Right. So we're going to be talking about Tooth and Claw today. So I'm going to resume my little on-screen video here, which begins with a scene from the Highlands of Scotland, which is probably Wales.
It's Wales.
And they're very lucky that they managed to find a blustery day to wave all
Master.
The... Oh, Jesus Christ. How was that? 8 seconds.
No. It was 7.4.
It was not a blustery day. They, as one of the people commenting on the Facebook post has said, just the color balance looks weird. And they mentioned this during the commentary. It was deliberate. It was actually a nice, bright, sunny.
Yeah, of course they're going to do that. They do that in filming all the time.
You see it at the very end when the Doctor and Rose are leaving. Because it was filmed on the very same day.
Thank you for that. I'm just going to change pages just in case my comments, the welcoming comments we have from my viewers are not appearing on my feed. Oh, they're just not appearing because there's no one watching. Oh, there is people watching, but they're just not saying anything. Right, okay, anyway, so like I said, I'll go back to what I was saying before. The blustery day, and there's a carriage going across the cairn. And then they cut to a scene in a sort of old farmhouse sort of courtyard with some baldies.
Torchwood.
Some baldies in
spoilers.
Hey! Right then, and Kirsty. Oh, shut up! I'm introducing it. Oh, for God's sake! Oh,
okay, go ahead.
Thank you.
And
Kirsty Bissett.
Oh, that's all right. Save her a wee bit of ham.
Well done for not picking any of ours.
We only had one quote between us.
Yes.
So,
Master.
Yes.
Oh, that's better. I can hear myself now. I didn't have my direct monitoring on.
Carriage.
I wish I had that problem. I couldn't hear you. Oh, well.
Oh, you've only been on for 19 seconds. That's a real cutting blow.
I know.
Go on, Kirby. Pardon?
I had misremembered that carriage at the beginning. I thought it was just a long shot of Queen Victoria's carriage. No, it isn't. It's the monks with the werewolf.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah, well, we saw that. If you watch this program, you can see it's monks with the werewolf. Yeah, thanks. I agree with that dog.
Thanks for that.
Right. Terry Miles says, evening all. Evening, Terry.
Evening,
right then, Terry.
Good afternoon.
So these baldies show up at this farmhouse and the rather... Sort of, how would you describe the farmer? He's a bit arrogant, wasn't he?
Farmer.
Sort of.
he's,
so this is what happened.
He's like.
Oh,
like
you talked over the sound effects now. Oh God, I can't win here. Yes.
He's he's not a farmer. He's like the
caretaker. Well, in my eyes, he was a farmer, so I'm going to go with farmer. Thanks, Kirby. But there's a line he says, and he said, well, we're going to do it with fists. But he didn't actually do it with fists. They did it with sticks.
Oh, he's... Okay, he's credited as steward. So he's the household steward.
Okay, but how does that... I just mentioned the point that the baldy bloke says, we're going to do it with fists, and then he hit everybody with sticks. Okay, yeah. Moving on. Right, so, yeah, so it was a bit of a scrap. A very Marvel universe style sort of scrap.
I loved it. I remember the first time I saw this and just was going, whoa!
Yeah. It was very reminiscent of the X-Men. Anyway, so...
If you've seen the X-Men.
No, of course, yes. I hadn't at this point. I have since, but... anyway, so what happens is they all get sort of...
Crouching
taken
Tiger.
What?
That's what it was supposed to be.
What?
It's Crouching Tiger.
Okay, sorry, I got that wrong, didn't I? That's unusual. Anyway, so they've got all the staff of the house get taken prisoner and put downstairs in the dungeon. A box gets delivered. Well, it's actually a cage, because within the cage is something to make the lady of the house go, eee! So she could go, eee! In tune with the sting for the title sequence.
A cage is a lie.
What's a lie?
A cage.
Yes.
A cage doesn't exist. It's completely CG from the time it's in the basement, which is, I think, amazing.
Kirsty, I've got some very bad news for you.
No, it isn't.
You've got Kirbyitis.
I know.
I think Ben has got some
ointment. It's the name change because it sounds very alike. And once you get into that vein of pedantism, you just have to pick a name that sounds kind of like Kirby. So I went with Kirsty. So, you know.
It is not entirely CG.
Shut up.
Oh, God.
In fact, in the Confidential, you can see where they dressed a guy in a green
suit. Yeah, I know. I remember that as well, Kurt. Yeah.
Although, well, it wasn't a full cage, then. They only had, like, sides. They couldn't do anything else.
But... Well, I'll tell you what, Kirsty, it weren't a real werewolf either.
That was the brilliant thing, is that for most of it on the screen, it all looks the same, and when you cut to a CG cage with a werewolf in it, so I was like, it really added to blending the whole effect, I thought.
It was well done for 2006.
Yeah. Anyway, back in the TARDIS, the Doctor and Rose are being a little bit irritating while they dance around the console, being irritating. So they plan to go back.
Why is it irritating?
Well, it is. They're a bit sort of being a bit
silly.
Because
he's irritated by it.
Yeah, they're a bit.
Well, yes, there is that, obviously.
They're being a bit arrogant and irritating.
I think it was a nice little bit of it.
I expect some people
getting
would.
To know
yeah.
you.
I suspect some people would find that, you know, like that. Anyway, they're in a bit of. Anyway, Doctor plans to take Rose back to the 1970s to show her Ian Dury and the Blockheads. Sadly, obviously, he gets it wrong, and he was 100 years out, wasn't he? And ends up.
Yes.
That's one for Popmaster.
Interesting that the costumes that the soldiers have is also reminiscent of the same costumes from a Doctor Who story we reviewed several years ago called The Highlanders, which was the first to feature Jamie McCrimmon, played by a friend of the show, Fraser
Hines. Speaking of Jamie McCrimmon,
name drop.
Oh, is that it? Are we going to carry on?
The Doctor introduces himself.
He does.
James McCrimmon.
That's right. Did you like the way I segued into that?
Yes. Did you like how brief Kirby was on that interjection? And you pulled him up on it.
Yes.
I thought that was very brief for Kirby.
Yeah. Anyway, it leads to a very amusing scene involving a good Scottish accent, some bad Scottish accents, and eventually a meeting with...
Hi.
What?
Hi, new.
Yeah, with Pauline Collins. Yes, I agree with the doc.
Really dogs bark too. My accents are so bad.
Pauline Collins, who does rather play Her Majesty Queen of Heroic Victoria, sorry, extremely well, nobly as well.
She was great back in the Faceless Ones too.
Yeah, all right, just because we did do that story. I do remember this. He likes to show off, doesn't he, Kirsty? Anyway,
sorry, you needed an answer on that because I thought it was rhetorical.
It was rhetorical, yes. But I paused just in case you wanted to supply me with one. Anyway, so they get to be escorted by the Queen and her entourage, and Rose comes up with a plan to try and make the Queen say we are not amused. Mm. And they have place a bet for how much, Kirby?
5 quid.
I thought it was 10. I thought it was a tenner. Oh, well. I'm going to go with a tenner. I'm sure somebody will come up and tell me I was right at some point. Meanwhile, Baldy Bloke is threatening the gentleman of the house that he will kill his wife if he doesn't conform as the Queen arrives and gets whelped. And the bloke does try to put her off a bit by saying that there's the cook's been taken ill. What?
Quote, Rose, I want her to say we are not amused. I bet you 5 quid I can make her
say
it.
Oh, what a surprise. No, what do they settle on, though?
Oh, they settled on 10. You're right.
Thank you very much.
Oh, have a point each and just carry on.
Yes.
So, yeah, the Queen is welcomed to the Torchwood House, which I recognise the name. Well, maybe not. I don't know.
No, never heard of it.
And do you know, I always thought that we'd have found a space in the cast for Eve Miles in this one.
All wearing similar costumes. Well, the maids are, aren't they? Similar time, I suppose.
Yes.
Anyway, so the Queen has a little red box with her containing something mysterious. Meanwhile, down in the dungeon, there's a cage containing a hooded man. Robin, the hooded man. That's an old series from the 1980s had Michael Praed as Robin Hood. And should I carry on? Ray Winston, yes. I think. Yeah, we play with it. Anyway, he's a bit sinister, this chap in the cage. And when he goes, shh, it's very scary. And all the girls are
very
scared.
Very scary, yeah. I mean, I'm watching it now with the sound off and I was scared. Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Queen is getting a tour of the house, and she's brought into this room where a rather large telescope is the sort of central feature. And the Doctor's particularly interested by this, but he's particularly impressed by the optics. There's a clue. The optics aren't complete. Anyway, there's a couple of really clever shots. I don't know if they're computer-generated or what, of the house from a distance in the valley, which is a glacial valley, with the sun rising in the background and the mist. It's a very nice shot, that.
Yeah. It was on the Blu-ray that they talked about the match shot.
Ah, excellent. And then, of course, we forgot to mention that Rose has been naked for most of this match. It's quite an exciting prospect in itself, but in fact, for us, she's quite overdressed. But nevertheless, she's encouraged to wear some more sort of suitable clothes for the time.
And she never does.
And she never does, because she opens a drawer wardrobe to get some clothes, and rather attractive maid is inside there, and makes me scream, her scream, and everybody else scream, because it wasn't to be expected.
Even Fred screamed last night.
Well, when the maid was in the cupboard.
Yeah.
Okay. And we have a comment from...
unexpected.
Tim Drury says, we are not amused, but it is Adam. But it is Adam. Oh, what was to do with the show? I'll tell you later. Great episode, even though it does have random martial art monks. I don't know whether you're talking about this podcast or the episode itself.
I've not seen too many ninja monks on the 20 megabyte mic. Should I try that again? 20 megabyte podcast. I've not seen too many. I think he probably means the Doctor Who episode. The one that we're kind of reviewing at the moment.
Okay. Anyway,
they're in. Rose, I'm saying that.
Yes. Rose befriends the extremely attractive but slightly scaredy cat maid, and they make their way through the corridors and get caught.
Almost immediately.
Yes.
It's a recurring thing, that, isn't it? Rose does always tend to hook up with the softy of the lot.
Yeah, it's a very similar character to, but a bit quieter, to Gwyneth or whatever she was in episode 2 of series 1, played by Eve Miles.
But what was she a semi-psychic?
No, nope. I said similar in the fact that she was quite timid, young. I'll move on. Well, if, I don't care if you disagree with me.
Someone disagrees with that.
So the Doctor, meanwhile, is having din-dins with the Queen, and they have a bit of a, you know, several mentions of her late husband, what were sort of talked about, while the girls are downstairs requiring some sort of sanitary pants because they're literally scared, and and then the bloke in the cage lifts his head up, and he's got these very deep black eyes, and he's got his teeth need a bit of work, but I suppose Americans would just say he's got British teeth. What?
I was thinking that they CGI'd his eyes, but no, those are contacts.
Well done, Kirby. Tim Drury
I think
says
what we should do, right, is we should give Kirby, you know, like on the for British people, this will make sense, on University Challenge, where they press the buzzer and their name then sounds. So yes. The host knows who to go to answer
Kirby
the question.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
So maybe if Kirby had a little button, he could press it and go, Kirby Bartlett Sloan, yeah. And you could either continue or ignore him.
Honestly, all the podcast would be Kirby Bartlett Sloan, Kirby Bartlett Sloan, Kirby Bartlett Sloan, all the way through.
I'll look into doing that. And the University Challenge probably sounds like a show that was on when I was a kid called College Bowl.
Americans can't. It's still on nowadays over here, though.
Because they don't have new universities in America, apparently. So anyway, Tim Drury says, must disappear now. There's snooker to watch. Oh, come on, Tim.
Watching it already.
We'll listen just next put it on, weekend.
Put it on. No. The snooker has been amazing.
Yes, but you can watch it. You can watch it with the sound down and still get as much enjoyment.
I'm doing. I've got it on now. Selby's just about to approach the table. 49.
All right,
that'll
do. Anyway, Rose gets up. Oh, for God's sake.
During the commentary, it was RTD and a couple of the production people, production design people. But RTD was amused because he kept saying one of the Baldies looked like an Auton.
Oh, hang on. Should I play a laughter sound effect for that? I haven't got one to hand, actually. I'll play this one instead.
The past is another country. 987's just the Isle of Wight.
Right then.
He should be outside Old Trafford.
Brandon Moore said, I'm watching the snooker as well. Well, thank you very much, Brandon. That's nice to see everybody's paying attention.
Don't you moan about it. You just said you could watch it at the same time.
Well, I can't see it because if I put the telly on, it's behind me.
And then giving permission, you start having a go at someone about it.
Well, yeah. Why not?
Snooker's important, Adam. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, Rose approaches the scary bloke with the dark eyes, and then the moon comes out, and all sorts of things happen.
Moon comes out as what?
What do you mean?
Well, look, bisexual, or...
The moon comes out and shines on him, and he starts stripping off, and then starts...
Changing. In the term that the kids use these days. Right, not as in come, hello, I'm the moon, and I'm homosexual.
No. But I will say... That the while
don't call
this
the moon
is happening,
gay now because it will sue
be
you.
Be quiet. While all this is happening, that the doctor is sussing out what's going on, and he sort of runs downstairs because he's saying, "Where's Rose?" That the werewolf is proper werewolfing, and eventually starts breaking through the cage. I must admit that when we saw the werewolf, we automatically all shouted out, chimed together as a family, "Magic!" But sadly, magic hasn't quite got the wolf in him anymore. He just likes to lie down and smell most of the time. And I don't mean smell by sniffing stuff. He smells. Quite old, you see. Yeah, he's a scary old dog. And, so the doctor runs down through the corridors. Oh, yeah, the queen shoots one of the bawdy blokes with a handy little pistol. But she's a bit kick-ass, the queen, as we said. I do like the fact that Queen Victoria is represented in such a way. And the doctor sees the werewolf and goes, oh, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. Wish he'd done that in the Scottish accent.
Was it David Bellamy from the 70s off British?
Oh, he was. David Bellamy, short like that. Not like Fleming, the 10th Doctor. Or did you think that was quite a good impression of David Bellamy?
No, I thought the impressions were pretty much the same.
So all things start kicking off in the house, and they all have a plan, because there's a plan to, shall we try and shoot the werewolf? Have you got any silver bullets? Well, no. Yeah. Would have been handy for a Cyberman if they had gold bullets. And of course, the girls all cower together because they think they're going to get killed by the werewolf. But he's not interested. He's really only interested in the queen because he wants the crown. Sadly,
hey,
the queen hasn't got.
You interpreted that scene properly, Master.
What?
The RTD was complaining during the in the commentary that most people think that the werewolf leaves them alone because of all of the mistletoe in the kitchen. But no, he's just not interested in the women.
Isn't that just what I just said?
Yes, I said.
So it was the wolf that came out, not the moon.
Yeah, he came out of the cage, yeah.
Because, I mean, Billy Piper was there. So.
Kirsty's trying to say something.
Kirsty!
Kirby is paying you a compliment because RTD's complaint was everybody thought one way, but you actually thought the way he intended it. So you perceived it correctly. And so this is a compliment from a pedant.
Okay, but it's in the script.
Correct perception.
I accept the compliment, the rare compliment with gratitude, but it is actually in the script. It doesn't take a lot.
I even thought it was because of the mistletoe until I watched with the commentary.
Especially since there's like a big batch of it right by the door.
Yeah,
but the mistletoe, all the mistletoe stuff there was a means to guide the werewolf to where they wanted, to the trap, basically, to where the queen, well, he's just basically trying to get the queen. The queen just happened to be.
No, it doesn't like mistletoe.
Yeah, but the queen just happens to be there. It's just accidental that she'd be up there in that sort of telescopy room. What's it called? Observatory?
The monks have been waiting for years because the queen has been occasionally going past there for her to make the trip during a full moon. This has been planned for years. It's in the script.
Splendid. Anyway, so I'm just moving forward because I need to. I love the house scenes, and it's very, very sort of atmospheric, this story, to be fair. And they're all in a bit of a battle with this thing. So eventually, after a lot of sort of being chased around corridors and stuff, the essential characters in the story end up in the observatory. There's a scene where that Master of the House meets up with his missus and gives her a big snog and a blatantly obvious goodbye, because he plans straight away to sacrifice himself to buy the Queen, Dr. Rose, etc., a bit of time.
Which is a daft thing to do, really.
Is it?
Yes, it's daft.
Why?
Well, how much time does it buy him?
I don't know.
I'd say about 0.8 of a second in reality.
Okay. But anyway, they're in this room and there's loads of books because they need to suss out exactly what they need to do. Because also, I forgot to mention that lovely diamond that's in the bread box, which didn't look very diamond. It looked like it had lots of etchings on it, but one of the shots they showed of it.
No, it looked fake.
Yeah, of course it looked fake, but it looked like there was like an engraving on the underside of it of something rather. But
would you like to come up and see my etchings?
No, shut up. Anyway, long story short, while the werewolf is clambering on the dome above them and it starts cracking.
That's what she said.
and in it falls. The doctor sort of there's lots of running around corridors again. But the doctor assembles this machine while the master of the house sort of tries to fend off the werewolf. And a last-ditched effort to save a bit of time, the queen sort of shows a bit. Was it like a rosary thing she's holding up while the doctor, the moon swings into view? What if it had been a cloudy night? This would have been terrible, wouldn't it? Anyway,
no, because it's England and everything gets ruined by the weather.
Okay. But anyway, the moon hoves into view, and the doctor throws the diamond into the machine, and it sort of concentrates its focus on the werewolf, who then sort of goes all into like a naked bloke shape, and then he wants more power, and then
want your car and your clothes and your bike.
Yes, but the queen apparently is the queen's been scratched by the the werewolf, I presume, with a view to possibly having a sequel story to this. But there was also a mention of the haemophilia thing. I think the true story about the royal haemophilia thing is the fact that Queen Victoria had children with her first cousin, and it was a thing that happened through many hundreds of years, and I'm quite aware of this because, like I say, I've done my family history.
There he goes again.
And that is what happened. Anyway, the doctor...
Did you find anything interesting in your family tree? Like, did you have any, like, royal lineage?
No. Absolutely no
one.
He'd have
told
us.
Don't say anything.
He would have mentioned Kirsty if there had been anyone.
I know, he wouldn't mention it.
He's too shy about it.
Well, if Mary had been on the show, she would have mentioned the fact that I found a cousin connection to somebody called George Washington, and somebody called Thomas Jefferson. Sadly, the Abraham Lincoln one was a red herring. No connection.
Are they alive still?
No, they're dead. No, they're dead.
Oh, they're dead.
You're related to a red herring.
No, I'm not related to. I might be related to a red herring if you go farther back in time. If you discuss it with another one of my cousins, Charles Darwin, who is also a mutual.
One of your cousins, look, mate. What? We know how family trees work, right? In the respect that everyone is related to everyone.
Yes,
six generations back.
No, it's more than six, but
generations,
yes.
And then everyone's related to everybody.
You know, well, so hemophilia, really, you know.
we're related to each other.
Well, sort of.
Everyone,
yes,
in Australia who listens is also related to each other, because,
yes,
everyone can be traced back to, who is it? Norman? Is it not Norman the Conqueror?
Yeah.
Edward
the Bastard. No, there's Ed the
Bastard.
No,
it's William the Bastard. You're getting confused. So,
but anyway, whoever it was, everyone
William
can be traced back to, like, those people. So we're all related.
Well,
that's,
we are.
Not,
yes,
big issue.
But the fun part of it is seeing how you're related. That's the point, isn't it? Well, you can actually
but
find
you're not,
those.
Though. That's the point, though, isn't it? You're not
how far away you are from Kevin Bacon.
You're being mean.
No, it's just that everyone gets so excited about this. But when you think about it, genetically wise, everyone is going to be vastly connected to a lot of other people.
Yes, of course they are.
Exactly. So why? How's that fun?
It's, well, like, I'm finding it fun. Well, when to see how
research.
How I, yes, it's research and it's fun, and it's fun to find out how you're connected to people and how you have the same lineage and stuff like that. I find it fun.
My father did all that when I was very young, so I know it all. It's interesting, but.
Ladies and gentlemen, as the only female on the crew today, welcome to the 20 megabyte genealogy podcast, which you can join.
All it came from was talking about the haemophilia thing and the fact that they were inbreeding each other, and that happened all
and
the way
got
through.
And we started.
The Royal the European Royals, that's what I'm saying.
And then King Adam started going on about his brothers.
Well, I can't help my lineage. Anyway, so
can't
the queen,
the king will now speak.
The queen knights the doctor, and I forgot about this. Makes Rose a dame.
Yes,
and I forgot about that. There you go. And then she banishes them.
Rose, Dame Rose of the Powell Estate.
And then she banishes them, to cut a long story short, creates the Torchwood Institute.
My mind.
Very cool.
Oh,
very
sorry.
Good scenes.
I thought we were going into Spandau Ballet.
So if this is a backdoor pilot, and next week is a backdoor pilot.
I'm sorry.
What?
Is that a different terminology in America?
For
Did
other
you really
series?
Like to say that to him?
Huh?
I'm sure that was supposed to be a euphemism, but I'm trying to work out.
No, this is a backdoor pilot for Torchwood. And next week is backdoor pilot for Sarah Jane Adventures.
Thank you for that, Kirby. Yes. Okay. Anyway, right. So I'm going to tell you what I thought about Tooth and Claw. It was really, really good fun. I know. So I've heard some people say it's my favourite New Who story. Well, it's certainly not my favourite New Who story, but it's got a lot in it that I really adored, much better than last week's. But yeah, it's a BBC, as we always say, the BBC does historical style stories amazingly well, and. I seem to remember when we were coming to the end of the RTD era and was, oh, we must get, not us, but people, general Doctor Who fans were saying, oh, we must get a new showrunner and let's get that Stephen Moffat, and he's really good at writing good stories in. For me, at the moment, now I'll be interested to see how this develops, but the RTD stories are really, really good and engaging and well written, and the dialogue's good, and it makes you. You don't sort of drift and lose concentration on the story, as sort of underlined by the fact that you said that I was able to realise that the whole focus of the story was that the werewolf wasn't interested in anything but the queen because it wanted the crown. That's because this story is very well written by an excellent, almost genius writer. And, yes, I just wish we could go back to those days. Sorry, Kirsty.
He had to write this as a replacement script because the guy who he asked to write it and told him what he wanted in it returned it with fewer of the items. I think he had said he wanted a werewolf, and instead it was like an alien embedded in the queen's eye.
Yeah.
Mm. See, that's what happens when you go to Fiverr and get someone to write your script.
Mm. Yeah, there you go. And so he said it was a very good writer and everything, but it wasn't a good fit. So
maybe it was Upwork then instead of Fiverr.
Russell bought another couple of cartons of cigarettes and just hunkered down in his room and cranked out another script, which is just anyway your review. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I just I miss having Russell T. Davies involved in Doctor Who, and my dream and hope that one day he would come back, and he probably won't ever, but come back and rescue the show, because it's him. Yes, arguably the dog. It's him is the reason why Doctor Who is still running now.
Absolutely.
And I just wish that he could come back and steer it back in the right direction.
Which episode did I say all of this?
You've never said it, Ben. I don't remember. Anybody remember Ben saying this? No, there we go. It's not my favourite ever, but it just shows how good Russell T. Davies is, how good the rapport is between the actors. I did find some of the sort of scenes with Rose and the Doctor a bit irritating, but as well, I hate them. I just find them a bit sort of, oh, God, stop it, you two. I'll clip around the ear hole and stop messing about, Yes?
You're going to continue to say that for the rest of the series.
No. I mean, it does put my teeth on edge a little bit with this sort of this love thing between the two. Because they did. Initially, it was, oh, Rose loves the Doctor. I haven't got a problem with that. I haven't got a problem with the companions loving the Doctor. Because, it's to a certain extent natural that they would go all gooey-eyed against this bloke that can take them around the universe or whatever. But towards the end of this series, as we well know, it seemed to be a bit reciprocated, and that doesn't wash well with me. But it doesn't mean to say I don't absolutely adore the stories, don't adore Rose and the Doctor, because Rose and the Doctor as a sort of character, as a pair, is and RTD obviously is the reason why we still got to Doctor Who now, and everything from then on in relation to the Doctor and it's his or her companion has got a sort of resonation, shall we say, with Rose and the Doctor. Right then, so Kirsty, what did you think?
I liked it.
Anyway,
sorry, I had been muted because of the dogs. No, I mean, I kind of agree with everything Adam said, including like I know it was a really rough process for RTD, like cranking out this genius stuff, if you ask me. And it was, it took its toll. And so I can understand them being shy of coming back. And I just hope someday that even a couple of scripts here and there would just, I'd love to see.
Well, Moffat said we'd get him, but we never did.
Yeah. For a rushed script, I love this. It's a good adventure. I mean, look how quickly we got through it. Basically, because just so much is happening on the screen that you can't really take the time to describe. Mm. There's a lot of running around corridors and just suspense and stuff, and it was great. I mean, it's fact that the only thing I don't like is the cocky attitude of the Doctor and Rose.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to air in it.
But I think that, and I mean, I find that that's very deliberate by RTD to show this cockiness that the two of them are kind of, they've got a big high on at the moment of, we can just go anywhere and make fun of things and whatever. And even when the seriousness is done, they're still kind of disconnected from what they've been doing. They're like, oh, cool, this is an adventure now, when other people are in fear. And so, people are annoyed by it, but I think that's the whole idea. Is RTD's trying to get to show you a different element of time travel where they've got this kind of, oh, we'll just drop in and see, this concert. Oh, we've arrived with the Queen. Let's just get involved in this. Ah, people died and on off we went, And they're all just laughy and jokey about it. And so I kind of like it, but I'm also annoyed by it. But that's the
thing. I think
the effects are great. I just didn't like the whole Well, the monk thing was cool. I kind of got what they were going for, and I'm glad they tried it. It's like, it's something we hadn't seen in Doctor Who before, something, you know, most of the kung fu stuff that was done by Pertwee, it was just like, it was all like, those in and out close-ups of fists and stuff where people weren't really doing much of anything, or people were running at John Pertwee.
Hi-ya.
And he was going, yeah! It's like, but now we actually had some serious, like, fight moves going on. Mm. So, yeah, I love this. It's a great, Who great jump. Episode. It's not one that's, like, full of analyze. You know, you don't have to analyze everything. Mm. Just stick it on and you
Fairly
can watch
simple
that.
Simple story, isn't it?
Yeah.
I would say, though, and you're talking about, you know, this sort of annoying relationship between the Doctor and Rose. I do forgive it, because I feel that we had the Ninth Doctor, who was battle-scarred by the Time War and still very angry and very traumatised, had the sort of where he saves Rose. He's obviously absorbed a bit of Rose in the process of absorbing the time vortex thingy.
Oh, my.
And I think now this is a stage at which the Doctor has recovered from his angst from the Time War and is just sort of enjoying life again, and that's probably explains his sort of excitement at everything, which is what the Doctor was before the battle-scarred Ninth Doctor. Yes.
Speaking of absorbing, we don't get the absorbal off for a few more
episodes. Oh, be quiet.
Episodes.
I like to think of the RTD era of Doctor Who as, the, at least for me, the golden age of Doctor Who.
Indeed. I'd like there to be another one.
Yes.
Right then.
It is. It's just like it was just shiny and new, and they did so much for the show, too. Yeah. I mean, we've got all the commentaries that were made right after the production.
Yeah.
I mean, so we're getting facts and stuff. For Kirby and I, this is lovely because people don't have to dive into the archives or remember something they did 20, 30 years ago. We've got Russell T. Davies explaining stuff about, you know, how the script came about and how they were so glad they got this person. And then you get the production people saying, oh, as always, in the British weather, when they did the recce, beautiful sunny day at the house. As soon as they went to shoot, cloudy.
Yeah.
So they could see the rain in some of those scenes.
Yeah, they say some of the shots you can still see the rain, but Russell was like, it doesn't look so bad. And it's like, and you know, you could download those right after the show and listen to them. And we had a behind the scenes look at it, and it's like, it was such a good time.
I love the confidentials. I wish they had not cancelled the confidentials.
No, they had a version of the confidential up to the last series that was available if you bought the series.
It wasn't the same,
but at least it was something. Anyway, Kirby, what did you think?
Absolutely love this one. It's fun. I like the Doctor still working his way into his character. I like the scene where everyone's screaming and running from the werewolf down the basement, and he's looking at it going, basically, oh, cool! Because he likes the idea of the werewolf. It's a little strange with the telescope at the end, because how do you know how to do all that stuff for the telescope I just answered my own question. I was about to say, because he didn't have the diamond with him. Well, Albert probably was taking the diamond with him every time he visited. So, it's a good one.
Yeah, well, thank you, Kirby. Ben, what did you think?
Oh, just briefly, Ben, if you wouldn't mind, I'm going to pedant on Kirby's review.
If I did mind, you're going to anyway.
So. I know, I'm going to. I was just being polite about the process
Now, it's fine, you carry on.
It's like a polite interruption instead of a rude interruption.
That's right, I'll come back in. But now I'm over here.
Go ahead and tell us,
Kirsty.
Relatively.
come on, Kirsty. Tell us.
And they actually went over the measurements. And, they said there's a slight bit smaller, I think, than the actual one at the time. But, yeah, it was they did keep cutting it down and cutting it down. And a lot of the stuff, if you have the Blu-ray and listen to the commentary,
one of that log it was going to take before you mentioned that.
Yeah, there's a lot of the facts in there are actually true about, like, I think you said about, like, mixing up the potions, the stuff that they were making and whatever, and things about werewolves and all that. He did his research. I'm like, for a replacement script, the man put a lot of work into it. Anyway, On with your review, what's his name?
By the way, I have Blu-ray.
Oh. I know, but you didn't mention it when you were talking so wonderfully about the diamond, and I figured it was a chance that you overlooked. Just saying.
I might have said I had the Blu-ray before you came on, although I didn't.
I know you have the Blu-ray.
Oh, Jesus.
Kirby, my dear.
I just had a message come through on the feed. It says, Terry Miles says, have you stopped? No, I'm just watching the feed now. There it is. Look, it's slightly delayed, but there it is. It's still running on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. It's a shame it says we've got a massive 4 viewers. Ben, please... Sorry?
I'm one of those viewers.
Oh, yeah. That does worry me, the fact that the viewership's quite low and we haven't got Mary or Debbie.
They're only here for Mary.
Oh, Mary, I'm reading through the comments again. For the feedback comments beforehand. And I was wondering, it's Lillian has posted, not feeling well today, I'll not be watching the live video.
Oh, well, we've still got viewers, so get on with it. Sorry, that's not your fault, Ben.
Robert says, hope you'll pick up soon, take care.
Yes, okay. Well, eventually Ben will be allowed to say what he wants to say. It's not my fault, Ben, by the way.
Do you want me speaking over here? Over here?
Or over here?
Right.
Go ahead,
Hello?
Ben.
Hello. Can anybody hear me?
Yes.
Hello. Testing. Testing. Which really?
You ever
going to
tell us about how you liked it?
No. What I'm going to do first, Kirby, is I'm going to say it's nice to have you all on board finally about the Russell T. Davis thing.
Now, I've always been
I
on
may
point.
Have mentioned once or twice. Just, I can't remember. It was either to you lot or it was to the wife. It was one of, I can't remember. I had mentioned that Doctor Who was incredibly much better when Russell T. Davis was involved. Now, maybe I've mentioned it, I don't know, 4 or 5 billion times over the last 493 pod. I'm not sure. But anyway, so it's nice to have you all on board now. That's the first thing that needs to be said about this. Secondly, the episode, yeah, I like this episode. It's a nice one. It's not one that you'd immediately go, oh, I'm going to watch Tooth and Claw. It's not one of those ones, is it? It's just that when you watch it, it's actually, as everyone said, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. It's a good story. It's well acted. It looks good. So I think things that need to be highlighted here. I've made notes on a bit of blue.
Notes?
Notes.
These notes?
Because, well, I do, Kirby, because I can't remember anything. So I have to write things down. Otherwise, I'd sit here and go, it's all right. So, firstly, first note, backdoor pilot. That's a phrase that I've now learnt, and I shall be incorporating in my everyday usage a lot more, because I think backdoor, I'll see what the wife thinks of that. No.
Oh.
Hang on, I just happened to have Ben's wife. I did have. Oh, she's gone.
Chloe, no, she was annoyed with me tonight for coming and do the podcast, actually, because she
you had Ben's wife?
Well, no, she was. Oh, no, she's back again.
Here
is Ben's wife. Ben, this is what your wife thinks of it.
You're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
I'm not.
Yep, that's exactly what she's saying. No, she wasn't happy about me coming out to do it this evening because she wanted to go for a walk or a drive.
Oh.
Because she's been in, a little bit. She had a jab the other day, so she's feeling a bit poorly. Anyway, so backdoor pilot, we've covered that. Well, not quite. In response to Adam, I absolutely love the relationship between Rose and the Doctor and the way it develops throughout the series. I think it's just such a magical love story that is just growing amongst the stars, and the way that the Doctor then feels it back at the end in that last episode, it's just fantastic. So no, I can't agree with you on that. I think it's brilliant. All right,
it's brilliant. I just before, I'm not sure.
But,
I like it.
Yeah, but that's because before this we'd had 9 different Doctors who had 9 different personalities and lots of different companions and lots of different writers. And so when you then add into the mix the 10th Doctor, however many companion, and the new writer, I think it worked. It just worked for me. I loved it. And that last episode where they're trying to
feel each other or hear each other on the other side of the wall.
Oh, yes.
You know, after the thingy's closed. It's just fantastic. That is writing. That is... someone may have mentioned this. It was the golden period of Doctor Who.
Yes.
Yeah, I've also made a note saying Russell Davies just having fun with the...
You went with golden period?
Yeah, I'll go with golden period. Yes, absolutely. It's one that only the royals understand. So Adam obviously knows exactly what I'm talking about. I've written here, Russell T. Davies having fun. Yeah, it was. It was him having fun, and it was the Doctor having fun, and there's... I think it was Kirby, she said a minute ago, he was just still developing his character. We were finding his character. He was writing his character. And this is, you know, brilliant. David Tennant is fantastic in these episodes because he's just arrived and you're just like, what's it all about? What's it all about? And it goes boom and he's brilliant. Then I've written Okai, I've been ooch in a boot, but I think we've covered that. And then finally, Rose. Oh, right. Okay, my note about Rose in this episode is mini jeans, dungaree dress, purple top, rocks it well. There were some of side shots at the beginning, which some people may have found quite nice. I can see why people would have paused the video at that point. But yes, that was certainly a cracking outfit choice from Ms. Tyler in this episode. And that concludes my review.
Oh, thank you, Ben.
Towards the end of that, Ben, you started actually sounding like a snooker announcer. So, very tidy outfit from Ms. Tyler.
someone will explain to me how this game with all the red balls is played.
Okay, that's what she said.
And you've got seven colours. The seven colours, even though red is a colour.
Didn't
seven
mean now.
Colours for different... amount of points. Reds are worth
now.
1 point.
No,
a red and a colour until all the reds and colours are gone, and then you've got to put the colours in order. And whoever gets the most points from
on, explain it then, but start at the beginning.
I'm not listening.
What?
Well, you asked the blimmin' question.
I wasn't expecting that.
It's like pool, but better.
With like a different sized table. Yes.
Yeah, like and pool different who? Sized pools. And the pockets aren't buckets, so it's not like just walking, but like a bit of air will knock the ball into a pocket like it does in pool snooker, proper gentleman's sport.
Has anybody noticed the rather clever billiard sound effects I was playing in the background? Who was that?
No, I thought that was Kirby hitting his head against the wall.
Well, that's a very good segue, because it's now Kirby's section of the show. We're doing feedback.
Pew! Okay, I used a picture of...
Go on,
of,
Kirby, start any time you want.
That would be good. I mean, I wouldn't want to interrupt you like you did with me earlier or anything.
Oh, Kirsty.
Kirsty, because that's not just the way it's done around here. We don't... No. You know, when someone starts talking, we let them talk.
You
so
let
Kirby,
them talk. Yeah. So you go right ahead, Kirby, and you start.
Because the floor is definitely Kirby's now, isn't it? I mean, if it's anyone's turn to talk now, it's
don't
Kirby's
let us
segment.
Stop.
So just Kirby can start.
That was the wrong Romeo and Juliet.
Let's try this one. Start with the picture. Start with the picture and we'll be cool.
Maybe it's all we want to know, Kirby, is the feedback. That's what we want to hear. We, no one is here for anything else but the feedback. So
yeah,
when you're
ready.
No. Carry on.
Everybody knows how important feedback is, and so... Yeah. It's about time we heard some Kirby.
Maybe you should read it.
And now...
I haven't got it in front of me. I can't read it.
Kirby.
Bartlett Sloan.
With feedback.
I used
the
20
megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join.
I, of course, used a picture of Pauline Collins.
Invented by Lavazzi.
And whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Hey, he joined in. Kirby's here. Why have I started feedback?
Yeah,
I
come
know,
on.
It's non-professional, I'd say. In a segment called Feedback to start mentioring the sponsors. I mean, we're okay doing it, Kirsty, because we're not doing the feedback. Kirby's doing the feedback. You're right. Your names do sound the same. you can get them confused.
And then there's the times when we were doing the quizzes when when Master would say Debbie and I thought he was saying Kirby.
That was just an excuse you used.
Anyway, no, Kirby.
For some reason, this person
it's
named
time
Dave
for feedback, everybody.
Dave Cooper. Kirby.
This person named Dave Cooper. I wonder if Kirsty might know this Dave Cooper. Anyway, apparently did not read my request for feedback, where I made a joke about the "we are not amused" thing, and he says, "Will one be amused?"
I think he did, but he just decided to.
Okay. And I responded with a picture of from Faceless Ones. I said yes and have an amusing hat. Robert Wentz Jr. I will be at the 2021 NFL Draft in Cleveland, Ohio. I will do my review of the next episode next week.
Was that an event drop rather than the name drop?
I didn't get picked, Kirby. I was up for the draft.
I was up for the draft, but then I closed the window and I felt a lot better.
Kirby, allow me to explain.
And it was fine.
Kirby, allow me to explain. The NFL draft is where they select young players from college football teams. That's American football for British listeners.
Not just football, because if it's basketball, then they won't be choosing American football players.
Was it NF, National Football League?
Well, yeah, but it's not just that. It could be any draft.
Oh, the NBL, if it's National Basketball League, surely.
Any giraffe? Why are you fucking giraffes?
We're explaining giraffes. it's all very confusing.
Anyway, back to Doctor Who.
Why? Are we not covering enough subjects?
Kevin O'Brien, I don't remember ever commenting before.
Yeah, don't put him off.
Oh, yeah. But,
says, isn't the woman playing the Queen Pauline Collins?
No, it's not, is it?
Yes. I remember her from No Honestly.
So do I. That shows how old he and I am.
Okay. Brandon Moore. Huh. Wonder who Brandon Moore is. 1979. Hell of a year. China invades Vietnam. The Muppet Movie. Love that film. Margaret Thatcher. Ugh. Tooth and Claw by RDD.
RDD?
RTD. ARTYDEE.
Yes.
Russell the Davis?
I hope you're not having
a. It's a full moon. It's a full moon, and there's a wolf about wanting to scratch that royal itch. This is a strong story. Probably Artie's best 10th Doctor offering. It's one of those brilliant mad mix of ideas that only Doctor Who can do. Werewolves, monks, Queen Victoria, and. Are we in Scotland?
No, Wales.
DT is great in this episode. Though all it does is make me question why he didn't keep his Scottish accent. It sounded great. Rose gets to fulfill another companion cliche, being locked up. She also gets to revisit her Series 1 trope of talking to the serving girls.
Yeah.
Fellow, Gwen, etc. Pauline Collins is restrained and regal, showing some inner strength. Surprised that the Doctor didn't recognize both a past potential companion and an iteration of a companion yet to come. Yeah, true. The untransformed werewolf guy is damn creepy, and his scene talking to Rose is great. The werewolf effects look pretty good, and the Doctor's fascination with the creature is well played. Love the line about the Koh-i-Noor being cursed as being nothing but superstition. Artie has said that this was his favorite line from his time as showrunner. Not too sure about the crystal/magic telescope resolution. 2 week plot resolutions in a row. Will next week be any different? One thing that hasn't been discussed too much by you guys so far are the TARDISodes, which were released before each episode during the series, serving as predecessors to the prequels that were most prevalent during the Matt Smith era. Or have you just forgotten about them?
Forgot about them.
Next time, Sarah Jane goes back to schools, we have our first backdoor pilot, I think. Oh, there's that word again.
Yeah.
Hey.
And by the way, I did post the TARDISode, but not in this thread.
Okay.
So, or did I?
I don't know.
I know I posted it. By the way, speaking of backdoor pilots, the first time I ever heard the term backdoor pilot is in reference to a second season Star Trek story. Assignment Earth, which was intended as a backdoor pilot.
It was going to be the backdoor pilot for what?
The story of Gary Seven and his secretary, Roberta, whatever.
Anyway. I need to interject at this point because I just looked up from my phone, having a scan through what Adam's just sent me, to see the same thing has been sent on my PC. But as I looked up, the first words I saw as Kirby was saying backdoor pilot was probed further.
Neil James. Neil James. Tooth and Claw. Ninja Monks. Makes no sense, but okay. I think Ian Hanmore as Father Angelo is a great piece of casting, and it's a real missed opportunity that the script wasted him a little. Of course, another fantastic example of casting is Pauline Collins as Queen Victoria. She's absolutely brilliant in the story and makes it worth watching. Aside from Ian and Pauline, I don't find much about this episode particularly memorable. It's got a nice score, but there's a lot of running around the house, which gets a bit boring, and the werewolf isn't very good. The Doctor and Rose continue to be hugely annoying together, so much so that I almost went to cheer when Queen Vic tells them off and banishes them. Pauline looks just as fed up with them as I am. Great final scene detailing the inception of Torchwood, but kind of like last week's tale, this sails pretty close to average. And what's with that weird color grade? It looks horrid. Three stars out of five.
That's good. It's very of its time. In fact, it's ahead of its time, that particular... What?
I responded to him. I said that the color grade was discussed in the commentary. It was deliberate to make things look spooky.
Yeah. They do that all the time.
Oh, thanks, Kirby. Didn't work.
That's the point, though. It's ahead of its time because they do that in all dramas, especially on Netflix. Netflix is awash with these sort of almost what you would call on your phone as a filter.
And here's where I posted the TARDIS out, so it's right there. Then there's Lillian saying she's not watching. I also noticed during the confidential, they interviewed the stunt coordinator. I noticed his name was David Foreman. So I said, now we know that David took Susan's name without the E and became a stunt coordinator back in time before Dalek Invasion Burke. Lillian,
somebody may have just stolen a certain L&D Butcher's thunder.
Really? And even if Lillian's not watching the live feed, she posted a picture of Rose in her costume and apparently herself. It says, "Dang, I could almost cosplay Rose in this story. I should get that T-shirt and do it." And she's wearing very similar. Overall thingy.
Doesn't work great on an audio presentation, but thanks for the description.
Well, it's on the Facebook group, which you can join.
Indeed. Well done.
Kirby. Uh-oh.
Oh, there's, and one more separate from that.
All right, yes.
Billy Kirkbright says, in honor of this week's review, I have to share this. Right. I was in Scotland just under 2 years ago. I found a watering hole in Inverness. I was on a brief walk on my own from the hotel. I found this place and stayed for a while. Anita wondered where I'd got to. It's called the Tooth and Claw.
Ah. Thank you for that. Right then, we've got more stuff. We've got this, hopefully loud enough, from Andy.
Well, Murray. Good afternoon, 20 megabytes. It's Andy and you here. It is 20 past four on Sunday afternoon. We're just actually ready to have a barbecue with some friends. Good grief, social contact. For God's sake.
The weather goes, it's your fault.
And I've got a nice glass of Barefoot Chardonnay. Very, very, very nice.
As long as he doesn't fall asleep.
Started, Adams, you don't need to worry about me slurring.
I need a glass of wine.
However, I watched Tooth and Claw yesterday, did the ironing, and I had Stormageddon for company, and Stormageddon really liked it.
Good.
He came in about halfway through, is when the werewolf creature was there, and he said, he saw him turn from the man into the creature, and it didn't faze him a bit. I mean, given the fact he's only 5 and a half, I was a bit worried about him actually sort of pausing and getting out of the room. But no, he was quite happy with it. At the end of it, he said, that's my favourite movie, because he became a man again, until he died. You know, you don't want to spoil it too much, but... But no, it was quite interesting. I mean, and the other day, I was in the car, I was, that's Doctor Who! And he recognised a TARDIS and a Dalek and a Cyberman. I'm definitely doing something right. And there's rugby and doing cricket this week as well. There you go, Kirby. I'm sure you want to know exactly how he gets on his first cricket on Friday, so I'll tell you next week. However, Tooth and Claw. I think it's good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think it's, you got the monks at the beginning, and you do wonder what on earth's going on there with these lunatic, head-shaven martial arts very fit blokes physically, and what it's all about. I must say, it didn't quite well. It was going to happen only every 30 years or something like that, 25 years. It was something like once in a generation, wasn't it? It's going to happen. They'd be waiting 300 years for this. The way they're rounding everybody up, and they said, why did they do that? Why did they just kill them? You know, why did they keep them all alive? That's the bit that I just didn't, I suppose. If they killed them, then Robert, you know, what's he got left to lose? But no, I think it's a good story in terms of they're trying to take up. It's a bit like steampunk, so I can imagine my mate Tim Drury would love it, and so would Gene Riggler. She'd love it as well for that, I suppose. And it makes a very good point, the fact that, you know, and I know this has been used several times in stories and in sort of pseudo-historical fiction, that if the British Empire had the technology, you know, where would we be now? You know, have we had, you know, nuclear power and things like that in the 1890s, you know, what would happen to the British Empire? It's I think that's a very relevant point, but obviously this has been done for nefarious reasons. Doctor himself, very good, you know, the relationship's definitely building. Billy Parker with the pain, we know she's trying to be Scottish, and then the joke about being amused. I suppose it did come off in the end, didn't it? The supporting cast, I mean, obviously Samantha Briggs as a Kirby Calder. No, the Queen was excellent, wasn't she? You know, I think she got that regal thing, and I love the way she you know, she starts running and she's you know, going to leg it out the window, are you? You know, something like that. You know, she'd obviously, I think, you know, for the Queen Victoria, nothing fazed her, did it? You know, she presumably she did shoot that monkey. They actually saw him die, but presumably she did kill him, and just so you know, she really had some get up and go. And then the backstory with her husband and Robert's father, and that I don't really saw that coming, and you realise what it was all about. Can the Coronal Diamond around just like that? Yeah, so yeah, I'm not quite sure about that, but he did have a good use, and I think the way the werewolf went to the end was it was quite moving, wasn't it? You know, let me go, and he's obviously turning back into the young man that he once was. And Sir Robert, you know, saving his name, you know, dying bravely, and he certainly put up a good fight with the sound of it, didn't he? And then, of course, you get the Doctor being knighted. Now, of course, it's the second time the Doctor's been knighted. The first time was by Chameleon really pretending to be the King, so I suppose it doesn't really count. And I forgot about Dame Rose as well. Dame Rose of the Powell Estate. Never gets mentioned again, does it? You know, but I don't suppose you can really go back. Oh, but I'm a dame now. Oh, how do you get that? Oh, Queen Victoria gave it to me. They're going to think she's a little bit of a mom, I suppose, and Mickey. assuming we're allowed to mention that person. But we don't know what's actually. Well, no one's going to believe it, are they? So it's it just never get mentioned again. And of course, you get the start of Torchwood. I forgot it was that early on that they started it, didn't they? And of course, it all came about because of the hiding the tapes by calling them that to stop people realising it was an Trollindicum. But there you go. So that's a good story. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think it is a good one. On to the barbecue. So until next week, I'll be seeing you.
Well, thank you, Andy. Well, I can totally relate. Yes, oh, for God's sake.
You went over that so fast. I want to explain for people who don't understand. They were shipping tapes of or copies of Doctor Who around, disguising them as by scrambling the letters that said Torchwood.
So basically, what Kirby is trying to say is, Torchwood is an anagram of Doctor Who, and they used the name Torchwood to hide the tapes going back and forth between offices.
I said so that. Are you saying it again?
I'm saying it in a less confusing manner.
I heard a story once that, yeah. Like making film and they use a code name. Like when Doctor Who tapes were being transferred between places, they used to write Torchwood on it, not Doctor Who. Mm.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know. Did anyone else know that?
Anything to add?
I just wish.
It's like when the first Star Wars movie was being made, it was coded Blue Harvest, and then later Family Guy when they did their
wasn't
Star
it
Wars
Return
30s,
of the Jedi? Wasn't his, Return of the his... Jedi Blue Harvest? I think Return of the Jedi was Blue Harvest, mate.
You're correct.
Oh, Kirby God, I've just put my geek hat on. I'm really sorry. I've got to take it off again. Wasn't it Empire Strikes Back, Kirby, that was Blue Harvest? Yes.
I'm going to have to put a new rule up on the co-presenters rule page.
Yes, it was
page.
Empire.
What?
It was Empire because...
No, it wasn't. It was Return of the Jedi that was Blue Harvest, I'm sure.
Right, I'm going to open up the... While we do some more feedback stuff, I can do stuff in the background. I'm going to open up the rules of the co-presenter page and add a new rule. It's about time
the new rule is
do not interrupt the main presenter of the show when he's about to say something, and as soon as the interruption comes in, that will then mean that it will not be relevant when the initial thing the main presenter was going to say, therefore washing away a brilliant idea the main presenter had while that feedback was being played.
You might want to get the lawyers looking at the wording of that rule, mate. It's not the clearest.
Hang on, I'm going to scratch my back.
There's no way that we would know that you were about to say
something.
Well,
the rule is, don't interrupt until the sentence that I say I'm going to scratch my back. Because it works really, really well. Now I'm going to have to hope somebody else on some date in the future. comes up the same point that Andy did, so as I can interject what I wanted to say.
What was the point that...
Hello, Twenty Minute Podcast is in code.
Welcome back, Ian.
Welcome back, Mr.
Tooth and Claw by Russell C. Davies. The first mention of Sheffield.
Yes.
The Doctor wants to take Rose to see Ian Dury play at Sheffield, but ends up in Scotland instead. The 13th Doctor gets to Sheffield. A werewolf in Scotland. But it's not really a werewolf, it's an alien. It's not really Scotland, it was filmed in Wales.
Mm. Yes.
The BBC always does historical settings very well.
I said that.
Pauline Collins is good as Queen Victoria.
She certainly is.
She was in the old series and came back to be Queen Victoria.
Did you know that, Kirby?
Jenna Coleman will be a companion in Doctor Who. Then leave and be Queen Victoria.
Another good point.
They wanted Billy Piper to do the first part of the story with a Scottish accent. Mm. Until they heard her Scottish accent. This was very good, except for Rose trying to get the Queen to say, "We are not amused." And the Kung Fu monks. Bye for now.
Yeah, thank you, Ian.
The Kung Fu monks, I tell you.
Who should we go for first? I reckon we'll go for Kirsty while I see if I can get myself out of this sulky mood I'm currently in. Kirsty, you have some text
The TARDIS missed the target, this time by 100 years and over 350 miles. Unusual for the TARDIS crew to leave the TARDIS and have deadly weapons pointed at them? Not. Well, Sam Briggs from the Faceless Ones changed her name and became Queen Victoria. We only watched the Faceless Ones last week. Good God, the Doctor has a Scottish accent. He's good at it, isn't he? I wonder if they still have low-flying kung fu monks in Scotland. That's one hell of an extension to the top floor of Torchwood House. And actually, that was all studio built. Sorry to interrupt their review. That was all studio built and was fabulous, the whole thing.
It was.
It was gorgeous to look at.
Yep.
Gorgeous. Anyway, back to the review. I love the way the Doctor has to keep checking with Rose checking with Rose if he's being rude. not being amused bit got a bit old very quickly. How can Queen Victoria have passed on the haemophilia to her children, as Albert had been dead for quite a few years and the kids had all been married off to European royalty and left home by the year this was set? So, it was the Doctor's fault that the Torchwood Institute was born and Captain Jack had a job. Excellent CGI on the monk turning into a werewolf. Very American werewolf in London. We enjoyed this story very much. Conjuring up a great image of Jackie fighting with a werewolf for a diamond and the werewolf not standing a chance of winning. I'd like to see Jackie Tyler versus the werewolf. Get your mitts off that. I'm having that. Sorry. Looking forward. I blame it on Linda and Terry Miles. Looking forward to next week.
Sorry.
I blame Linda and Terry Miles.
I thought you said you blew it all. Sorry.
Town boy. I'm not responsible for his dirty mind.
I clearly heard something that you didn't say, although I will check back on the podcast.
I won't. Hearing things you would rather I say. anyway, looking forward to next week.
That didn't include the words good or bye. So.
Oh,
I'm joking.
Looking forward to next week as Sarah Jane Smith appears. Stay safe and well, Linda and Terry Mile.
Yes, well, thank you very much, Kirsty.
Terry Mile.
Thank you very much, Linda and Terry. Ben, you had some stuff.
And will you want me to read Robert's after Ben?
Yes. Well, notice, of course, that neither Kirsty or Ben got interrupted by Kirby at the beginning of what was potentially one of the most memorable parts ever on the podcast. But never mind, we'll just have to live with that, I suppose. Yes, Ben, if you mind, we'll do Robert, because he's essentially a presenter after Ben's dictation of the legend that is Alan T. Butcher.
Thank you for the hospitality. Or Mags's brother's Highland holiday. Dear 20 megabyters, Tooth and Claw is, of course, a closely studied exploration of the idea that it's okay to destroy those that are different to you if you consider them a threat to you. The Doctor shows due deference to the beauty of this nonconformity. However, this is disregarded in favour of expediency in defeating the innocent threat of our heroes are faced with. I'll kind of mug that up a bit. Furthermore, the power of intrigue exhibited during the Victorian period is controlling
ingenuity. You got that word wrong, Ben. Respect.
Sorry?
You got the word wrong. He said, furthermore, the power of ingenuity. You said, I don't know what you said, but it wasn't that.
I don't know what I said. No, I'll tell you why.
What?
Because I need to... There we go. I can see it better. It was getting a little bit caught up in my lovely expensive windshield. So when I say, it doesn't go.
Oh, okay.
Like that, you see. About 65 quid, this thing.
That's acceptable excuse. That comes from Rhys Barton's Book of Excuses, Volume 3.
Well, to be honest, I'm trying to read off my phone with my glasses on, which is always tricky. Anyway,
again.
I'm half blind now, anyway.
That's from Rhys Barton.
I just don't use my glasses when I look at my phone.
I'll tell you what, I'll take my glasses off.
Yeah.
It's even worse.
There's some words. That they're moving. I don't know what they are. Hold on, I put my glasses back.
They're
on.
Moving. That's
thing
nice.
Thing is, these glasses aren't strong enough. That these are my outdoor glasses that I don't actually need to be able to read with. So I'm in a bit of a pickle. Furthermore, the power.
So those are your
of
shed specs.
Shed specs. Brilliant. I like that.
What shed specs?
That's very good. They're not strong enough. Furthermore, I'll tell you what, I've got it on Facebook. I could have.
Oh,
put it onto
Frank Spencer there. Furthermore.
Furthermore, the power of ingenuity exhibited during the Victorian period is controlling the unlike is also given respect, and the wolf subjection is revered by demonstrating its contrition.
Pretty sure she was too old to have periods at this rate, at this stage. We just said all her children left home. So, yeah, she would have been too old to have periods.
Did I get any words wrong there, Adam?
No, you just talked about the Victorian period, that's all. Sorry.
Victorian attitudes are further demonstrated in the Doctor and Rose being paid honour in private, but treated warily, untrusted, and covered up by the establishment. Colonial ruthlessness, hypocrisy, and moral turpitude are all thus represented, but at the same time, the incorporation of the unlike in the very apex of colonial power through an incidental laceration upon the Queen also points to the assimilative capacity for development with the apparently moribund hierarchy.
Oh, I do love the lack of punctuation there. Carry on.
Yeah, if you noticed, I was struggling for breath after the 96th continuous word there. Anyway, I wanted to do it justice. I wanted to read it as it was written.
But surely you wanted to take a breath somewhere along the line as well.
Not really. I'd have passed out. But it could have got listeners. thanks, Alan. It should be noted that whilst some might say that the wolf here represents the proletariat during the Victorian era,
powerful but unfocused, and ultimately downtrodden and defeated by a more focused and self-possessed ruling class. Unfortunately, the wolf here is not afforded any quarter in the way that progression towards ever wider suffrage was won to an ever widening electorate, leading towards ultimate strides to democracy in the following century in Great Britain. We also learn that a young Liverpudlian girl, Samantha Briggs, that the Doctor met at an airport near Crawley in the 1960s, somehow slipped back in time and substituted for Victoria of Saxe-Coburg and Gotha as Queen. All in all, Tooth and Claw is an unusually well-developed plot for RTD, although there is quite a lot about the scenario which is left unexplained, such as the monks, what kicked off the development of the telescope thingy, and that remarkable piece of luck that I think Kirby explained earlier, that a uber-diamond-bearing monarch was passing through. However, the narrative itself is well played out, and the tension and portrayal of the werewolf exemplary. The ease of Tennant's performance is stunning, and everybody except perhaps Piper does that ultimate Doctor Who thing of playing it totally straight and believable. Rose's rather jokey attitude is obviously a deliberate move to feed into the more substantial ongoing story arc, which doesn't really depend at all on the repeated Torchwood references which do not serve any significant or logical purpose. This story is perhaps one episode too short, as who would not like to have seen the Queen's lycanthropy? I don't. What's that word mean?
Close. It's lycanthropy. Yes.
That's what he said. Something.
What is it?
I don't know.
Lycanthropy.
Hmm. Yeah.
What is it? It's being a werewolf.
Is it?
Is it?
Yeah. Hmm. That's what it means.
You know, Adam, I'm so pleased you said that at the same time because I felt such a
Hang on. Don't go any further. Alexa, what does lycanthropy mean?
It means pedant, like Kirby Bartlett Sloane.
Oh my god.
Oh god, he was right.
No, shut up. No, that'll do. Thank you.
All right, lycanthropy. Okay, well. Okay, let's continue with this episode of Play School, as we've all learned something today. Lycanthropy, okay. This story is perhaps... So if we can do an edit somewhere around now, Adam...
I don't do editing.
Really great. Sorry. This story is perhaps one episode too short, as who would not like to have seen the Queen's lycanthropy, which apparently means werewolf instinct, probed further.
Knew you'd laugh at that bit.
Sorry, I tried not to laugh at the old joke. I found it incredibly funny. So. Next up, Doctor Who and the Return of the Watcher. Or, he was Giles the Librarian all the time. Those are my thoughts. The wonderful Alan T. Butcher. Thank you, Alan.
Oh, sorry, I'm the only one rounding applauses.
No, up there. I was banging my desk quietly.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Your pardon? I know your wife's
well,
not interested.
Well, he's in that shed on his but... own. He can do what he likes in the privacy of his own shed.
I can in this one. Do you know what? I've built one shed base this weekend. I'm about to build another one tomorrow. Then all the sheds can move around. And in about a week's time, I can start building my proper recording studio shed. I'm so excited.
Yes.
Or should
so
I say
shed? We start calling it Two Sheds Jackson?
Well, no, because I'll only have three sheds again then.
Oh,
at the moment,
okay.
I've got... two.
Well, have you painted the one TARDIS yet?
No, I haven't. The wife has poo-pooed that idea.
Is it the wife's shed or your shed? Come on.
No, it's absolutely my shed, but it's in her garden too.
Oh.
And the fact is that my shed takes up, at the moment, the best portion of the garden. No, it's a bigger portion, but it's the worst portion. Never gets any sun. Might as well put a nice big shed on it. Where I'm sat at the moment, in my old shed, which is now on the other side of the garden from where it was a couple of weeks back, that's the sunny part of the garden. So when all the other sheds are built, this one will move. And then this sunny area, I'll make all nice, you see. Then we'll have a nice garden and I'll have a massive shed.
That's good, then. Doctor Who News.
A couple of weeks' time.
Doctor Who News. Frank Cox, 1940 to 2021. The TV director, Frank Cox, has died at the age of 80. Frank Cox worked on two early stories of Doctor Who in 1964. The age of 23 became Doctor Who's fourth director, taking charge for the episode The Brink of Disaster. the second part of the Edge of Destruction story, and an episode that involved just the four main cast members, which is a little bit like that film I was talking about last time.
Didn't he return later that series after looking after the final two episodes of the Censorites kidnap and
yeah,
Desperate
right. Thank you for that, Ben. Doctor Who magazine's self edition. Sorry, I said self edition. Special edition, 57. Doctor Who magazine issue 57 looks at writing for Doctor Who. That's going to send your scripts
in.
Who do
you suppose you could buy a Doctor Who magazine from?
I haven't got to that bit yet, but Doctor Who magazine 564, featuring on the front cover friend of the show Paul McGann. It says what the Eighth Doctor did next. It's lots of Big Finish, basically. The Who Adventures, Telos Publishing has announced a new book from writer and researcher David J. Howe. I talked about that last week. I'm not going to talk about it again. Be quiet, Kirby. Right then, and...
Yes, sir.
Yes?
Yes, sir.
I can't even remember the joke I was going to tell there, isn't it? Oh, well, I'm sure it was...
I made you forget
assure
it.
The viewers that it would have been very funny, because obviously I devised it. Terry Miles said, have you stopped? That's what I talked about a while back. It appears to be running on my Facebook, so I presume it's still running.
Yeah, it's on mine as well. I can see you.
That's all right.
And you're a rather natty jumper. I like your jumper.
This is an M&S jumper. It's not just any old jumper, you know. Yeah, right then. Right. So that's it for Doctor Who.
M&S jumper? That's kinky. Oh, sorry, M&S.
Shut up, Kirsty, or I'll...
Hey, I've got an idea. What, are you trying to get off early or something, Adam, today? You're trying to wrap us up.
No, I will be wrapped up at some point. I don't have to set a specific time. But if I can get off early, all well and good, because I'm moving on to sponsors.
Something we haven't discussed for a good while.
Oh, go on and discuss, before I move on to sponsors, discuss what you wanted to discuss for a good while.
This can wait till any other business, Adam. You do your stuff, you do the housework
first. We don't have any other business section.
Well, we do this week.
Do we?
As an original co-host... I've used my powers to win in what's the word I'm looking for?
Don't know.
Lycanthropy? No.
Shall I play some lift music while I remember it?
Anyway, we're going to do any other business week.
Was that long enough?
Yeah, that's fine. I'm done. I'm not watching the snooker.
Okay. So shall I do the sponsorship bit and then we move on to that bit? I'm still trying to remember the joke I was going to tell.
One of us is lying, Kirby.
Oh, it's so annoying. I bet when I listen to this show back in several years' time, I'll remember what I was supposed to say when Kirby interrupted me. That's going to play on my mind.
There's no one else. Go on.
Go on.
No, you go on.
Me or Kirby?
You'll be listening to it around the time that we get around to going through all of these stories once again.
Guess what? That's not going to be happening. Not unless you re-listen to the episodes that we've already published. Doctor Who, no, I've done that bit. Sponsors, we're going to start. Oh, did anybody hear the new theme bit? But I do want to do a little bit explain about the new theme for the start of the show, because I didn't have Isle of Wight Heroes. IW Heroes on that theme because I couldn't find a suitable ring modulator to do the Dalek voice. Even the one I used was not what I would have normally used, but it's the best I had. So I apologise that the Dalek voice is not quite as Dalek-y as it should be. However, I felt it was appropriate this time to put all of our sponsors on the opening titles. Isabella very kindly recorded a new... disclaimer for the end of the episode, and she did it rather well in two takes.
She always does.
Well, no, other times she's done it rather unenthusiastically, but I caught her in a good mood, so I think I should give myself a high five, which is a clap, really, isn't it? When you give yourself a high five. Right, iwheroes.co.uk. Bought several items. In fact, I have to admit that I've spent about £80 this week at iwheroes.co.uk, simply because lots of Fab Funko Pops have come out recently, and mainly from the TV show from Disney Plus, WandaVision. They've got some cracking figures, especially the what's it called again? The Something Witch, the one that... has anybody
Scarlet
watched
Witch.
The Scarlet Witch? Yeah, the Scarlet Witch figure is absolutely
the Blair Witch Project.
No, the Scarlet Witch is absolutely fabulous. The detail on the Scarlet Witch is just, it's scrumptiously beautiful. Also coming with a Vision glow-in-the-dark figure, which it was so good, I'm actually allowed to keep it outside of this room, in the other room, by the Fox lamp. So when the Fox lamp is on, we turn all the lights off, Vision glows in the dark. It's really cool. What else did we get?
Does that mean he gives you vision in the dark?
Shut up. So they've got of course, the new Stan Lee figure, which is the one where he...
Stan Lee who?
Stan Lee.
Stan Lee who?
Stan Lee who?
Yeah, Stan Lee who?
It's a special convention, special convention. Does that make sense? Basically, it's a rarer figure because it was brought out for a convention that never happened. Stan Lee when he cameoed in Iron Man. Stan Lee. I'm afraid I'm very appalled that you don't know who Stan Lee is, but I suppose
one of your mates on the Isle of Wight or something?
We're going to get lots of correspondences coming through correcting Kirby about not knowing who Stan Lee is. Anyway, yeah, so that's
Stan
a really
Lee
good.
Who?
I haven't picked that one up yet. So
iwheroes.co.uk.
Yes.
We all know who Stan Lee is.
Oh, don't give me that. You just admitted 15 times that you didn't know who he was.
No, Kirby, I don't know who Stan Lee is. Who's this Stan Lee bloke? Does he live down the road from Adam or something?
Oh, I've got a knife of his.
You got what?
A knife. Got a knife.
You've got a knife of someone who lives down the road from Adam on the Isle of Wight.
Called Stan?
No, a Stanley knife.
Oh, hang on.
Wow, you lot.
It's going to be a bit...
I swear to you.
For coming on a show with a whole bunch of boys.
If my knife was in my tool bag behind me like it normally would be, it would be... cutting the veins in my very bloodied wrists at this time. I'm so glad that it's in the other shed at the moment, because otherwise I'd have done myself damage after
continuing
that.
On with Heroes, you can order stuff from iwheroes.co.uk. If you live in the UK, they will ship to you. However, if you live outside the UK, tough, because it's not licensable at the moment. But there is a new figure coming out. They haven't got it in yet, but it's... Captain Kirk sat in his chair on the Enterprise. I am itching to get that figure, and I think it's going to be very popular. But I have already told Rob that if he gets it in, I want it. Don't care how much it is, I'm having that one. So that's iwheroes.co.uk.
Oh, you are so forceful.
I am exceptionally forceful. In charge, I think that's what I was going to say. Right then, she can't hear me, can she? She's gone upstairs. Yes.
We will send it back to her later, though.
whowon.co.uk.
Is it whowon.co.uk?
Oh, I've got no idea.
I feel really sorry for them.
They get more promotional on this podcast. You're meant to say it once.
So no, I feel sorry for them having that whowon.co.uk after every time they're... I think probably Nick is completely oblivious to that fact. Right then.
It's positive.
Yes, of course
positive.
It's positive. Pre-order items available at whowon.co.uk mainly.
Would that be whowon.co.uk?
Well, that's what I said. And the fourth Dr. Dalek Universe Dalek Protocol
free stuff,
by Nicholas Briggs, sort of friend of the show. What do you call someone who's you've upset but they haven't sort of said they're not friends with you anymore? Estranged friend of the show. That's probably the best way to do it. Nicholas Briggs writes a big Finnish story for the Fourth Doctor. Christmas Invasion.
What did
the book.
Nicholas Briggs?
How did I upset Nicholas Briggs? Well, he didn't understand the point I was trying to make when he came on the show, and I have explained this before. So anybody who's listened to previous episode of this show and understands
which
the story,
will be nobody.
Kirsty obviously hasn't, so I should explain
ago,
to her.
Adam.
When Nicholas Briggs came on the show about 10 years ago, we were discussing writing for Doctor Who. And I made the point that in the old days, they just would hire a writer who was an established writer to write a story for the show. Nowadays, all the writers were 10 years ago, were fans of the show. So essentially, all the stories were professional fan fiction. And he didn't like that, but I still stand by that comment that... Russell T. Davis was a fan of the show. He turns out to be an exceptionally talented writer, but is still professional fan fiction. He's a fan of the show, writing fiction for the show. I stand by my comment, but Nicholas Briggs didn't like it.
I can see why he got upset by that.
So could I, but I'm still right.
Yeah, no.
I'd apologise, and you might get.
I've already apologised to him, but there you go.
Master.
What?
Episode 17, put out on August 23rd, 2010.
God. I remember it well.
I said it was, I mean, that's 11 years ago, nearly.
And then a half.
So you're about as right with your guessing how many years ago it was as you are with your comment.
I have a picture of myself and Debbie with Nicholas Briggs up on the wall here.
Is he flicking you the bird?
Oh, where is it? I did have a picture up on the wall of myself with Nicholas Briggs. Oh, no. It's me.
You smashed
Nicholas
it.
Came round one night when you weren't there. And
it's me, Alpha, Debbie, Isabella, and Nicholas Briggs. No way, mate. And I think I apologised to him at the time. He said, I can't remember that. Right then, Lease of Life by Aaron Lamont, which is a Torchwood story, which is rather appropriate at the moment. We're talking about Torchwood. Lone Centurion by David Llewellyn and et al. That looks like a book about Rory, Amy's husband. And Lost Story 6.1, A Return of the Cybermen by Jerry Davis. Let's say Fourth Doctor. Audio, I think. Maybe an audio book, is it? I can't see what it is. It's so small. Master, like we talked about this last week, featuring Eric Roberts playing the Master on Big Finish. These items, plus the current Doctor Who magazine and future ones, can be bought from whoone.co.uk. And if you live outside the UK, you can get shipping. And they absolutely love sending orders out internationally. So there you go. Lavarzi.co.uk.
Wonderful, Lavarzi. I love that, my scarf.
Do you?
Yes.
Right, calm down, Kirby.
Yes. Lavarzi not only sell beautiful potential cosplay items for Doctor Who fans, you know, specifically scarves and jumpers and stuff, but they do actually sell some Star Trek merchandise. They did used to sell... merchandise of that's other BBC series called Sherlock. And it's funny you should mention Sherlock, because I found out today that I'm also distantly related to Benedict Cumberbatch. So,
you're distantly related to everybody.
That was my point earlier.
I know.
Oh, for God. My point is earlier, I can actually trace the link. Yes, I can say that I'm distantly related to the lovely Ben Shoveler. But I haven't found the link yet. But if I do, I will tell Ben, oh, well, we're distantly related. We're exactly whatever cousins we are. And that'd be nice
when
I find
that. Charles the Bastard.
What?
Charles the Bastard.
It's William. It's William the Bastard.
Generations ago.
It's William the Bastard.
And that's how we're related. And me and Kirby are related through Isabella the... Oh no, I won't use that name because Adam might get offended by that nasty. By Curtina, the flamboyant, who's a 15th
generation. I do love that
name,
non-existent, but I do love it. Anyway, that's Lavarzi. Of course, like I said, I've always liked to point this out. They have a great page.
I haven't disagreed with somebody else's genealogy. That's rude.
I'm not. I don't accept. I'm doing this alone genealogy at the moment.
Why not? But are you an expert? You know,
I will say just in reliance to my genealogy or genealogy, whatever you want to call it, the family tree that I'm sort of generating. 25 years ago, when my granddad was still alive, and he was telling me all this stuff, and I didn't bother taking any notice of it, I really regret that. So therefore, I've had to go the hard way and actually. Pay money and do lots of research to actually find
Master.
It. Yes,
it's the other way around. Your family tree generated you.
Stop being silly. I'm talking about if I'd asked and paid attention to what my grandparents were telling me 25 years ago and actually made note of it, I would have saved myself a lot of trouble in regards to the trying to create this family tree and then trying to extend the family tree further back. I've had to obviously my granddad didn't know that he wasn't actually biologically related to his parents, but that's something
always reminds me of I never listened to those things about I've got the quote all wrong now, never mind.
You got the quote wrong, too late.
Yeah, screwed it up.
No, but it is a point. No one's interested at the moment, but I've come across people who are interested in their own family trees. How many times have I had people come and say, me granddad died a couple of years ago and I really wish I'd asked him. I wish, because now I can't. He can't tell me any stories about, what his childhood was, what his childhood was like, what his parents were like, what his grandparents were like. And it's the closest I can get to it because... my granddad was exceptionally important to me because he replaced my father, because my father was off doing other things, so my granddad became my dad. And the fact that he has now not got a family background because of ancestry DNA, it means that my mum, who's still alive, she's the only one in the family actually appreciates all the stuff, all this stuff that leads back to bygone ages and stuff like that. So once she's gone, it will be me, and I'm hoping that the kids will change their attitudes, because once I've gone, there's no printouts of all this information. It's just online, so it'll just disappear and die, and that's that. And then of course I'll be gone, and I might find another member of the family as mad as me who would want to know, and it'll be too late, won't it? So there you go. Nice morbid end to the show, but what? Oh yeah, you wanted your bit, didn't you? To bring us business? Back from morbid. Yes, any other business, as long as it's not morbid.
Well, actually, funny you say, as long as it's not morbid. I have three things I've made notes of here on my piece of blue roll.
Why is it blue roll?
Blue roll?
No, it's blue. It's coloured blue. It's used.
Oh, it's used. Is it TARDIS blue?
No, it's a bit lighter than TARDIS blue. Although I am holding a pen which is TARDIS blue. No, it's a roll that is used for decoration and mopping up paint and stuff like that. Not spilling up paint, but mopping up paint and drying
shed towels.
Kind of. I'll tell you what. I'll put a picture on the website for you. Anyway, three things written on it. Firstly, at the bottom. This show, I have just decided, this podcast number 495, is going to be dedicated to my grandma, whose birthday it is today. She was born in 1918. She would have been 103 today.
1918.
And I love my grandma. I miss her very much. So we should dedicate the show to her. Good. I always text my mum on grandma's birthday. And this morning I woke up and the only photograph we've got up in the lounge at the moment, because we're changing everything around, the only photo up is one of my grandma. So I want to say happy birthday to her this morning. So, grandma, in podcast land. Secondly, the thing I've written here is, it's in quotation marks. It says, professional fan fiction. And then I've written a few notes beside this. Just this might be of use to anyone at some point. It says, never say that to anyone who has worked hard on a script for a TV show, especially a guest you may be interviewing. And then I've written this in capitals and underlined it. They won't like it. So
thank
I don't know.
That, Ben,
maybe that will come in handy for someone in the future. Don't piss your guests off. They won't come back. And finally, the thing I wanted to, I think maybe we could discuss at some point.
He did say he would come back, but he never got around to it.
He did, though. Adam.
He wrote back to me, so I'll come back, let me know, and I'll come back. And then I forgot to let him know, and it never happened. Carry on.
Now, as we all know and are really pleased about, it looks as though Jodie Whittaker, that fella's going to be leaving the role of the Doctor.
Really? I haven't heard that one. Where'd you get that one from?
I haven't heard that one either.
So I was interested on knowing when this happens, because let's face it, he can't go on forever. Who do you think and who do you want to be the 14th Doctor?
Well, I've
forgotten, because I did think of somebody really good.
To go away for a while and...
No.
Great.
It won't.
I'm too old for that.
It's too commercial.
It does go away for a while. It doesn't go away for a couple of years.
Yeah, but the BBC, it still pops up, and the BBC still make money off it.
Yeah, but so
it seems to be commercial revenue.
Yeah, but it seems to be every 2 years it goes and comes back anyway. So it's sort of doing that now, going away and coming back, because I've had the...
But anyway, so give me some names.
Yeah, but it's no longer any good.
Shut up, Kevin.
I agree
with
you.
In your opinion...
Well, in a lot of people's opinion, especially the viewing figures.
No, but just a lot of people's opinion doesn't mean it's mine.
Can I just say, Kirby, you're saying it's just not any good.
That's fine.
There are times from the last series that Kirby actually said, I love this. A couple of episodes, it's still... The fact that you can still say, I love this, on maybe one individual episode of a series, still means it's got something going for it.
Yes.
So, come on, give me some names. And who do you think and who do you want? Because then we can have when it actually gets revealed.
You've sort of thrown that on me a little bit. I did actually think. I mean, I'd like Idris Elba, but that's never going to happen.
No, but you're allowed to say that because that's the kind of names that I'm interested in. See what people actually think. Oh, that would be really good. Because you've obviously got the obvious ones that I think we've all mentioned before. But the interesting thing is, who do you think it will be, not who do you want it to be?
I wouldn't be surprised if someone like Joe Sugg, who seems to be being everywhere on television at the moment.
See, that would be quite interesting, though.
This new companion guy, whose name I forget.
John Bishop.
Bishop, yeah.
Yes.
I just saw him on Bake Off the other day.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
He's very
was
funny.
On the...
Great stand-up.
He's...
Right. Yeah. I'll go on, Ben, because you've generated the question. To give myself the time to sort of think of an idea, carry on. Oh, who do you think it should be, then?
Well, who do I think it's going to be? Well, I'll tell you what, who do I want it to be first? Well, I think I've said before, I think Richard Ayoade would be
he's a good choice, yes. I think he'd fit the part.
And he'd be an awful choice.
Pardon?
Sorry?
I love Richard Ayoade, but I think he'd be a horrible choice because he would be Richard Ayoade being the doctor. And that's I don't want Richard Ayoade being the doctor.
An amazingly good point, Kirsty. Mm. And that would be exactly what it would be. It would be... bringing in a name, which is what they generally do that. They don't bring in, who's that 80s rom-com actor? What's his name? The one who was with the Hollywood Four Weddings and a Funeral, Hugh Grant. There was talk of Hugh Grant doing it, but that would never work because it'd be Hugh Grant playing the Doctor. It needs to no actor that's ever done it. Is it raining? I hadn't noticed.
If it's enough of appeal for the actor that it is possible to get big names. I mean, what you're talking about, I mean, I'd like Michael Sheen to play the Doctor, and it's more likely of Michael Sheen playing the Doctor than it is the previous name I mentioned, Idris Elba, although they're both... acting in Hollywood from time to time. Oh, actually, Idris is acting in Hollywood quite a lot. But Michael Sheen is a British-based actor, and I think he's probably been shown. He's been in Doctor Who in regards to his voice, but he's obviously very good friends with David Tennant.
He's also on a show here on occasion, stateside, called Prodigal Son, where he plays like the son of. An investigator, but he was his father's like a killer and is in hospital. Is in prison.
Yeah.
And Michael Sheen is basically the crazy dad. And
he's just very. He can play any type of character. He's got a lot of gravitas.
But don't you think then that would be Michael Sheen playing a character of the Doctor? It's the same thing.
Are you saying you don't want a big name? You want someone who's up and coming, like.
I don't think it will be a big name. I don't think it's never going to be a big Hollywood actor or a big A-list actor.
Do you think it's likely to be somebody that Chris Chibnall, if he's still the showrunner, he's not going to be.
That was going to be my next point. Chris Chibnall, if he's still running the show, then it will more than
it'll
likely
be somebody that was in
Broadchurch in the past.
Chris Chibnall has killed the show.
Oh, he totally has.
He has not.
And if
he's
it's
not
someone,
quite killed it. He sort of rendered it. The show is the show is sort
moribund.
Of in a coma. Moribund. Should we say it's in a coma? Ben. It's not dead. It's in a coma. But it can't be brought
back. People's opinion.
Ben. Did you say Hugh Grant?
Yeah.
He's been the Doctor.
Yeah, he has.
He was.
Richard E. Grant has as well, but we'll forget about that. Joanna Lumley has. Rowan Atkinson. Yeah, I mean,
but if you didn't see that episode where basically it included saying that all of those people were the Doctor as well, as I think you might have discussed once on the podcast, which I don't include because I'm ignorant, then, he's never been the Doctor. Apart from on one comic relief thing, which doesn't count. But, it
was written by Stephen Moffat, then.
Yes, yeah. That makes it even more irrelevant in my world.
Yeah, me too.
Well, it was written before he was a showrunner.
Yeah, but Richard E. Grant, I think he got the audio, the cartoon Doctor part on the back of that, didn't he? So.
Yes, he did.
True. Yeah. So, anyway, we haven't heard from our overseas correspondents.
I already said Richard
Yeah, what? Did you really think that would work?
Could.
It's a chance, isn't it? Certainly a chance, because it has been mentioned.
Other than that, I hadn't really thought of it.
Who do I want?
I've always kind of liked. I've completely forgotten his name. Yeah.
He was that good.
Outstanding
performances.
His dad was in like all the sitcoms. And the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory movie. God, what is his name?
Gene Wilder.
Johnny Depp.
No, he played the.
He's played Charlie in the more recent Charlie and Chocolate.
Oh, him. Yeah, he would be good.
He would be good, yeah. He's also in Leonardo on Amazon Prime.
He's too famous, though.
Who are we talking about?
The lad who was Charlie in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Johnny Depp's version.
I know the film, but I don't know the bloke you're talking about, so not too famous.
But I have thought of someone.
He's in the new James Bond movies.
Who?
Oh, what's
never
his
heard
name?
Of him.
James Bond.
I've come up with my suggestion.
Freddie Highmore.
That's it, Freddie Highmore. My suggestion, therefore, and I thought about this the other day, and I've just remembered because of Freddie Highmore, that I'd like to see. What's his name again? Aidan Turner. I think he's a very good actor. He's very good looking. The women would love him, and I think he'd make a great doctor. I know he was in Poldark, but then you look at Tennant. He was in Casanova, so it doesn't mean to say just because they're in one BBC production,
one who was in The Hobbit?
What, Aidan Turner?
Yeah.
I've never seen The Hobbit, so I wouldn't know.
Okay. I'd like to see Aid Edmondson.
He's dead.
Aid Edmondson's not dead.
No, sorry, God, I thought I was onto a good joke there. I like that.
He was very much alive.
Do you know what? Another thing I thought of.
Okay. Back on my point here, Rory Kinnear.
That name's been thrown
Sean
around.
Sean Pertwee?
No, but I like Rory. It's not because he's on a list or anything. It's just I happen to like his performances and stuff. I like Rory Kinnear. He's got
For
a short balding guy, he's got a whole lot of confidence in his character. It's like, I don't know, I just
there's a lot of actors
seeing him and stuff. I'm like, I'd like to see what he'd do with it, because he doesn't look like somebody who would, you know, take on an eccentric character.
Stuff
but
coming
it'd be
through
really
on the
cool
feed,
to see
though,
what he would do with an eccentric character, you know.
Alan T. Butcher says, Adam is distantly related to Eve, don't be so rude. And then I am writing a closely studied account of my genealogy. And then he says, Rafe Spall would be a good suggestion for the Doctor.
Master?
The Doctor, not the Master. We
spoke about Aidan Turner.
He played a dwarf in The Hobbit. Alan's just popped up that information.
We spoke about him completely unrelated to The Hobbit, because when we spoke with Toby a long time ago, because he was the main character, or one of the main characters in Being Human.
Well, Aidan Turner.
Well, I tell you what, look, I've just used the World Wide Web, which is an amazing thing. It's got loads of information on it. I don't know if anyone's ever tried it before.
No, never.
I have tried it, but I end up in very inappropriate pages.
What I wrote down under what I think, who I think will be the next Doctor, and I hope this doesn't offend anybody, I've tried to be as PC as possible. As I've written, woman of colour. I hope that doesn't offend anybody. That is, you know, that is what I think it's going to be.
Joe Martin. The Roof Doctor.
Well, the latest odds for the 14th Doctor, according to a betting site here in England, which I won't give any publicity to, but it's not really in England. It's like, you know, my mate Paddy. He's very powerful, but I can't tell you which website I'm looking at. 4-1 is Michaela Cole.
Who's she?
Now, she is a lady of colour who is in... Is she in Bulletproof?
Wouldn't know.
And... But, yeah, so that's her. She's apparently the... Is she in... which one of the Line of Duty? Somebody in, anyway, Ollie Alexander.
Oh, he'd be good. Yeah, I like Ollie. He's not very manly, though, but I don't really care about that, but I think he's fantastic. I think it'd be good.
God, no. Oh, absolutely.
Well, you don't
not.
Like Ollie Alexander.
I've only just seen who he is. I think I saw him on Anna's deck, and I never broke
good.
The telly because
he'd
be annoyed him. But Jesus,
it'd be something different.
Kelly MacDonald.
Who?
Oh, Kelly MacDonald. Now, she was in Trainspotting.
Was she?
She was the girl in Trainspotting, the original Trainspotting film. Everybody remember that? With the four boys?
No, I've never seen Trainspotting. It was on Redbox.
Never seen
You've never seen Trainspotting?
No.
Nope.
What?
No.
I may have to withdraw from this podcast.
Are you That's joking? What she said.
This is the... You've, serious. Right, okay, this week... Right. This time next week, you've all got to have watched Trainspotting, because this is a fan. Anyway, she's in Trainspotting, and she's a very good actress, and she's at 6-1. Vicky McClure is at 7-1. Now, I think, is she the one in Line of Duty? I haven't watched any of Line of Duty.
Nor have I. It's very popular. Haven't seen it.
Trainspotting is not on any of the streaming services I get.
Yeah, but it's on BritBox, if anybody's in Britain.
Yeah, Vicky McClure is an English
actress
in Line of Duty.
What about Jo Martin, who is already a woman of colour who played the Doctor?
8-1, Michael Sheehan. I think we all know him. 8-1, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who's in another programme that's good that I didn't watch. Maxine Peake, who's another famous...
No.
No, I don't think so. Natalie Dormer, anybody?
No.
Who's Natalie Dormer, anyone?
No, I don't know who that is.
She's in the Tudors. Richard Iodi, 8-1. Anna Maxwell Martin.
Nah. Oh, I've heard. No, you mentioned it, Ben. You're talking about a lady that might play the Doctor. Helena Bonham Carter has already been bandied for a possibility. There you go.
Well, then you've got Chris Marshall. I know there's another one that's bounded around quite a bit. But there was a report around, because for those who are the uninitiated, he was doing a show in Bermuda, one of the Caribbean islands. It's on British TV, wonderful TV program called Death in Paradise.
Oh, yes.
And he was rolling that, and he quit that the same week as, was it Capaldi quit Doctor Who?
Yeah, and everybody thought that he was going to be the next Doctor.
Yeah. So that name there would be quite an interesting one.
And the funny thing is, Ralph Little...
Matt Berry.
But Ralph Little, who's currently...
Matt Berry, no, he'd be too Matt Berry.
Ralph Little, who is currently the detective in Death in Paradise, was also bandied to be potentially the new Doctor.
Yeah,
so there's lots of links between Death in Paradise and Doctor Who are never, ever happening.
Right, okay.
Ben Miller.
Talking about something that's never, ever going to happen. Right, I'm just going to read you, and this is God's honest truth. I'll take a screenshot if you don't believe me.
I'll read you
the next six names on the list, and you've got to tell me the one that would never, ever be Doctor Who, okay?
Yeah.
Who's Doctor Who?
The Doctor.
That's better.
I nearly swore at you, that girl, but you nearly had the F-bomb. Okay, the next six names, and I'm not making this up. You've got to tell me which one would never, ever be Doctor Who.
David
okay,
Brush.
Are we ready? David Harwood.
Who?
Tilda Swinton.
No.
Matt Berry. Richard Rankin. These are all 14-1, 16-1, 16-1, 18-1. Idris Elba.
There's the one.
And number six, 16-1, Noel Clark. James Lawson, Ben Whishaw, Rory Kinnear, Olivia Colman, Maisie Williams. Did anyone spot anyone?
Sadly for Noel, he wouldn't play the Doctor anyway, because he's happy with the character he already played in the series. But for his current situation, there's no chance.
I've been no mention of that whatsoever. That was just on the list, and it was just something that, you know, let's say nothing about Noel.
Well, I didn't think we'd be able to stretch things out this week to 2 hours.
No, and that's as far as we're going to go, because I'd like to have a bath and see if my favourite series...
We're not going to talk about what we've been watching lately?
Well, quickly then. Carry on, because I've forgotten what I've been watching, so I'm going to have to put
the telly on. Extreme Cake Makers. That's what we've been watching on Netflix. Cake Makers.
So basically it's a different version of a Bake Off, then. Is that what it is?
No, it's a lot better than that.
Is it?
That's when they bake.
I've been watching the glass blowing series on Netflix. Enjoy that.
It's kind of like, no, it's not like that either. It's literally, it follows three people every episode who make extremely extravagant cakes for people, and they obviously cost a lot of money. And they're rather good, but that's all we watch apart from snooker and football. So I feel sorry for my wife.
My wife's just getting into the Great British Sewing Bee.
Oh, I don't fancy that.
So I'm finding all the back episodes. I found a source for those.
Oh, episodes about where they sew things on your back. Is that what it is?
Sorry.
What? I'm sorry. Was I supposed to laugh at that one?
No, just
one more thing.
You can do if you like.
highly, highly recommend. She's just fantastic.
What? What? Spit it out. Come on. Just, we haven't got all day. Adam's got to leave. Kirby's been very, very quiet. So would you just
it's unusual, isn't it?
And come on, Sheds.
I think it's a Cordo or
no,
Anyway. Yeah, Sheds. That's it. That's your new name.
Sheds.
It's a new program, a new documentary by Dave Grohl, who is just the
sounds quite good.
Just the best person in the world, the king of rock and roll, Dave Grohl, lead singer of the Foo Fighters. If you're sitting there going, he's just
I didn't say who, I said woo.
Who are you? Everyone again. UK?
Well, I didn't know. our American friends were aware of that. Foo Fighters. But anyway, there's a new documentary, and it's all about the vans that rock and roll bands went on tour, their first tours in, and it is fantastic. I cannot
What's that one on, Ben?
It's on Amazon Prime in the UK, and it's something like Cordo or something like that in America.
That sounds
And it's called What Drives Us.
Well, I've just been watching Marvel, started watching Marvel 616 on Disney Plus. That's quite an interesting show. I can't explain why, but it just is. Especially the episode one, which is talks about the Japanese Spider-Man, which is completely different. Although it looks exactly the same, completely different from Marvel's Spider-Man, but it is licensed and approved by Stan Lee.
Who's Stan Lee?
There's some other Bloody Tales of Europe on National Geographic, also on Disney Plus. And we finished watching a series called The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
That was pretty good. I liked it.
It was good, yes. It's completely different to WandaVision, and it should be, to be fair. A different feel, not a different genre, just a different feel to it. Leonardo on Amazon Prime. Just started watching that. Got one episode out. It's quite
DiCaprio?
Good, quite dramatic and beautifully.
Da Vinci?
Yes.
DiCaprio?
Yes, about Leonardo da Vinci, yes, played by Aidan Turner. And it's the other chap that was in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, isn't it, as well? You know, the nipper that you mentioned just a minute ago that could be the Doctor.
Yes.
It's it's beautiful. It's very... The atmosphere of the time period, or whatever you call it, is beautifully rendered on it. It's really, really good. On Netflix, I've been watching... I started watching Prank Encounters with that the kid from Stranger Things, but it's a bit crap, so I stopped watching that. Superstore is forever good. That's now on ITV2. If anybody's in this country, his first five series are on Netflix. Series six, which is the COVID series, in other words, and it's so close. I work in the supermarket environment. It's brilliant, and Superstore, well worth watching. Deb is watching Shadow and Bone on Netflix.
Did you say Shed?
No, it's nothing to do with Sheds.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said Shadow and Bone. Sorry. See, by the way, what I text you when you say you're doing it and I say I'm ready? I don't say I'm here. I say Shed Leader.
I didn't see that, but then I have got lots of other things to try and to do at the same time.
Next week I might be Shed 5.
What else should we watch?
Shed 5 standing by.
Very good.
Oh, I did watch a whole series of something. Oh, yeah, I must just started watching...
Stay on target.
The Roman...
Stay on target.
Be quiet. I just started watching The Roman Empire on Netflix.
I've missed the portal.
That's quite good.
I have put Trainspotting on my DVD queue for Netflix, so I'll get it Tuesday.
And like to do it the legal way, and then to yeah.
It's a great. Then the soundtrack is just phenomenal as well. Such a good film.
What Fred and I have been starting to, we are continuing with our Star Trek: The Original Series watching, and started into season 3. And actually, Spock's brain was not as bad as I thought it was.
I think that was quite a good episode. Iconic, Spock's brain.
It was better than I thought it was. And then
I really liked Spock's brain with garlic and a little bit of red wine sauce. It was delicious.
Last night we had kind of a long evening with Doctor Who. We watched Tooth and Claw.
Did you come around?
And she saw the preview for School Reunion on the end of. So we had to, of course, continue with School Reunion because you just cannot pass up watching one of the best stories ever. Then I was reminded, something in it reminded me of the, what's the game show, that was one
15
of the
15 to 1 countdown,
The Chase.
No, the
Golden Shot.
The Circle.
Let me just
bring up. God, do I have to play lift music again?
No.
Who wants to be a millionaire?
Stop throwing names at me and then I'll remember it.
Grandchild remembered. Tom Lockie's big
weakest link. Watched the Doctor Who.
Oh, the weakest link.
Next one.
Yes, the Doctor Who version of Weakest Link. And
I still wanted to get that.
And that's a lot of fun to watch that one.
I did what we watched a film yesterday that had what's that actor called that plays what's that? Oh God!
Oh,
it was a really violent film.
We're really good at this, aren't we?
What's that guy?
Yeah,
the
bloke with the patch.
His dad was in a movie with a.
That was his sister.
No, the bloke with a patch in the Marvel
TV
films.
Program.
No, Nick Fury. The bloke who plays Nick Fury.
Samuel L. Jackson?
Yep.
No, him. That was his cousin.
Him and the bloke that plays Deadpool. There's a film of them, both of them two in. I think it's something like The Hitman's Bodyguard or something like that. That was quite good. Quite enjoyed that.
Well, what's that?
I've really enjoyed this last 2 minutes of people not knowing who they're talking about.
Yeah, right. I thought I was bad, and then Master goes off and does the
That's
same thing.
That's because I'm tired and I want to get a bath and try and watch. I'm hoping that my
in the bath.
Hang on, I'm just checking it's on there. Otherwise, I'm going to be very disappointed. Murder on CCTV. Oh, it is on there. Good. Right, so I'm going to have a bath and watch Murder on CCTV, which is a program I watch on Quest Red in Great Britain. It's a very good series. Quite obviously quite sad because it's a series about murder, so someone's got to die in it, and it's real. But it's really good. Right then, so next week we're going to be rather joyously, I have to admit, watching School Reunion, because
I hate that
one of my favourite scenes in the whole universe of Doctor Who.
When
Sarah realises or recognises the TARDIS and realises the Doctor's about. Absolutely adore that.
That's
scene.
The same thing about. It's the same love between the Doctor's character and Sarah Jane as it is between the Doctor.
That's next week,
and
Ben.
The other thing, there's two great scenes. There's that one, and there's when Rose and Sarah Jane finally start laughing about the Doctor.
Yes, it's great. And the scene when
the let's do it now.
When he sees when he sees K-9 in the back of the car and stuff like that, it's great. Anyway, that'll be next
the bit
week.
Where K-9's there at the end as well.
K-9. Anyway, hello, Sarah Jane.
Oh, my friend was looking over at me as I was just going, oh, several times watching it.
Okay. Well, that'll be next week, everybody. That's the School Reunion. And amazingly how we've managed to get this episode so blimmin' long and Kirby hasn't said as much as he normally does. But never mind.
We're done with the episode.
See if we get some more girls on the show for next week. I'm allowed to say girls, Kirsty, because they got really funny a few months ago when I referred to. I said ladies, didn't I? I think that upset a few ladies.
Not sure. I'm kind of partial to just being referred to in the female gender, so I'm kind of happy with girls, ladies.
Should I call you broad, or what's the other thing the Americans call derogatory?
Broad. It just makes me sound fat. Well, very wide at least.
Well, I refer to ladies in the private term as birds, just because I think it's quite funny.
You refer to a lady as private as birds?
No,
well,
not
here
the private.
Vanilla white again.
Ladies as a concept, because that's what they did in the old times. They'd say, I'm just going off to see me bird, or they'll say me missus, or
the old
stuff
times,
like that.
The 70s.
The 70s, yes. There was some strange, not so much derogatory, but terms used for women that some people still use now.
I'm going to use the phrase that they use in New York and refer to my lady as my hoe, if that's okay, is everybody? Oh, I will now be punched in the face.
Right,
when
that's going to be sound. That's going to be sound bit and used as a jiggle.
On my old lady, which is like just such a remarkable term. My
I suppose
old
Father
lady.
Christmas uses, it refers to his women like that way, doesn't he? But he's got three of them.
What?
So anyway, thank you for listening, watching, taking part in the show. Please continue to do so, plus especially in the feedback front. Goodbye.
Backdoor pilots.
Shed specs.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk, and iwheroes.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.